So it's about 12 pages, big print, so you can read it. And anybody else would like one of these? I'll put them back here on the back, and I have plenty, so if you want one. Did someone raise their hand? You want one? There you go. And I'll just set this back here if anybody wants one or take an extra one. But I want to, and you can use that. You can do a Bible study. You can search out things. But, and who needs a handout this morning? I mean, I like handouts. Always looking for a handout. There you go. Oh, wait, there's two. Sorry to be taking your time this morning. I just had a few things. I'm struggling. Do you want this? So it's two per. I think it's the same one as last week. It may be a little different. I'm not sure. But we're going to try and get through Jonah. And you know, repetition is the best teacher. And I know I went through Jonah over and over and over in different themes a little bit. But you know, maybe something will stick in my head a little bit better than it did before. But This last few weeks, I think Jonah's really taught me a lot. It's taught me a lot as I studied it. And you know, I love the Bible. And, I never really thought about this. And I guess I did, but I didn't. But the God uses the people of the Bible to teach us. Just let that sink in for a second. God uses the people of the Bible to teach us, because everything through the Bible and through Scripture, it usually is through or about a person. And that's why I like learning and studying people and personality. Because you know why? We're people, right? And it's just amazing that we have such a sovereign God that decided to use the different stories and different battles and different things from history, and how he worked through apostles and worked through disciples and worked through other people to reach us. And, you know, I'm glad that he didn't just throw a bunch of facts and figures and rules and things of that nature, because you know what? It wouldn't penetrate a lot of people's hearts. But as we go through the lesson today, I want you to think about other people in the Bible and how God uses, you know, if you're ever in a valley or if you're on a mountaintop or you're experiencing something, and say you're going through something. Let's just say this. You're buying a car. You're buying a car, and you're back and forth. Should I buy this car? You know, this, I was going to say Pontiac. They don't make Pontiacs, and I'm surprised they stopped making Pontiacs. But say you're buying this car, and someone else comes up to you and says, you know what? I bought that same car 6 months ago. You're gonna want to listen to what he has to say about that car. He'll be like, you know, the transmission. That's the one problem I don't like, is that transmission. I don't like the way that transmission is, or I don't like the way this, or I like the way this. So he may sway you one way or the other, but you can identify because you're wanting that same car that the other person wanted. Well, in life we go through things, and God will bring people in your path that either help you, or people that you can help go through different things, or you can become close with each other because of that situation. Same thing with such a personal, merciful God that he uses people in the Bible, and we can sometimes identify with them, or at least we can learn what to do. He's got examples all through the Bible, people, and some of them are bad examples, right? He puts them in the Bible so we don't go there, so we don't do what they did. Or he puts them in the Bible so they're a good example. I just wanted to share that because God just does. I better keep that so I can take prayer requests. Do we have any prayer requests this morning? Pray for Debbie Mullins and Steve Mullins. And Debbie's going through a battle with cancer, and she stopped taking all treatments. And so Steve is the teacher of this class, and some of you may or may not know him. I know we have some visitors this morning. So he is just spending some time with his wife. And I know everyone's excited for Steve to come back, and we need to pray for Debbie and Steve Mullins. Any more word, Danny, on that three-year-old boy? Was it a three-year-old? Three, yeah. Okay, there's a three-year-old boy. He had tumors in his head, and we were praying for him. So he just keeps coming to my mind for some reason. Any other prayer requests this morning? Pray for those that are out because they're sick. There's colds, there's flu, there's all kinds of things going around. But pray for those. Anything else? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord in heaven, we thank you, Lord, first of all, for loving us. Thank you for dying on a cross for us. Thank you for providing a way for us to get to heaven. We don't take that lightly, Lord. We love you so much, and we just appreciate all that you do for us, not only on a daily basis, but on a moment-by-moment basis. We thank you, Lord, for each breath. We don't take it for granted. We thank you, Lord, for each movement that we can make. We thank you for each heartbeat that's on loan from you. Dear Lord in heaven, we want to take advantage of everything that you've provided for us because you blessed us and you richly want us to enjoy the things that you've given us, Lord. Help us to use that to help others and help us to use that to glorify you. We love you, Lord, and we pray for this lesson this morning, but we also pray for the message from the pastor to follow in the preaching. And dear Lord in heaven, we just thank you for all you do. I want to pray for Steve and Debbie Mullins. I want to pray for others that come to mind that they're going through different things. Pray for, we lift up Larry Russell. He's healing from a triple bypass. We want to pray for Mickey out there who is going through some health concerns and cancer. We pray for others there's two other people that I know of that had heart surgery. And dear Lord in heaven, we just pray that you'll be with them. Pray with others. I pray for those that can't make it here, people that are shut in, people that are in nursing homes or people that might be in a hospital or people that are recovering from injuries or illnesses. Pray that you'll lift them up. I pray that your will will be done, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So today, we're going to finish up Jonah, Lord willing. And Jonah is just such an interesting character. And the thing with the Bible, the more you think you know, the more you don't know. And every time I pick up the Bible and I study it, it just hits me a different way. And it's just amazing that the Lord put a book together, but it's not a book. It's pages, it's words, but it's His Word, and it's His living Word. And it's just amazing how, I think anytime we are in the presence of the Lord, and if you're saved, the Lord is with you and the Holy Spirit's with you, but anytime you read the book, you should stand in awe. Not everybody has this book, but the Bible is just truly amazing, and there's just no other. I just think it's even it's doing a disservice to the Bible when you even call it a book in my mind. But in the book of Jonah, chapter 1, it says, "Now the word of the Lord," and I'm going to go a little fast, so I'm sorry if you're visiting, because I'm kind of leaning and holding on to some of the stuff that we taught the last few weeks. "But now the word of the Lord came to Jonah." And I just want to accentuate that what a privilege it is to have the word of the Lord, but for the Lord to talk to you, not only through your word, but through the Holy Spirit. That's a privilege. When you feel the Holy Spirit pricking your heart to do something or to talk to somebody or to hand a tract to somebody or to help somebody, don't take that lightly. Because you know what? If the Lord and the Holy Spirit pricks your heart to say, "Help that person, help that person, help that person, hand this tract out, hand that tract out," and you don't do any of that, and I know, you know, sometimes it's awkward. Sometimes you don't feel like, you know, being, you feel kind of, you know, what are they going to say if you hand this track out? Or what are they going to say if you ask them if they're on their way to heaven? Or what would they say? But if the Lord pricks your heart, I rather care more about what the Lord says than what the people are going to say. And you'll go on and you'll be fine. But just don't take that lightly. I think that's just very important point for chapter 1 is the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. And another thing, as I was studying, the four books, the four chapters, rather, of the book of Jonah, it talks about the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, right, the first time. And then it talks about the word of the Lord came unto the fish. I mean, it kind of didn't say it like that, but once we get into that area, but the word of the Lord came unto the fish. And then the third time the word of the Lord came unto someone, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah again. I think it was chapter 3. But the word of the Lord came unto Jonah again the second time. And then there was the king of Nineveh. That great city that the Bible talks about in Jonah. It says the word of the Lord came unto the king of Nineveh. Now just think about that. All the different times that the word of the Lord, that the Lord reached out and changed the lives of these people. The word of the Lord today should change your life. If you're sitting here and the word of the Lord doesn't change your life, if you don't leave a little different than when you came, there's something, we have a heart problem at that point. Because the word of the Lord will change your life on a daily basis, and it's powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. So what a privilege and honor to have the word of the Lord. But also in Matthew 28, 16 through 20, that's the Great Commission. That is no different than what the Lord said here in chapter 1. So we understand the Great Commission is a command. The Great Commission is telling us we need to go, right? Matthew 28, 16 through 20. You can and for your handouts, Just write anything along. They're not specific fill in the blanks. So you can just write notes as I bring them to your mind or as the Lord brings them to your mind. So I'm not going to finish it like finished a sentence or anything. They're just spaces for you to leave notes. For I know people will come up to me and say, what was supposed to be here? What's the answer here? There's no answer. You just got to, on this one. But Matthew 28, 16 through 20, that's the Great Commission. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. That was a command. When the Lord says, I want you to go to Nineveh. There's no difference. So when the Lord tells us, hey, I want you to go to that person, or I want you to go and do this thing, there's no difference. It's the same thing as the Great Commission. It's the same thing as when the Lord gave direction to Jonah and throughout the Bible. So sometimes we call out a specific thing. Oh, that's a command. We got to know if the word of the Lord comes unto you, if the Holy Spirit pricks your heart, that's the same thing. Go. You either obey or you disobey. And sometimes we don't want to think about that. We just want to ignore it. But you're either obeying or disobeying. But in verse 2 there, Jonah chapter 1, verse 2, it says, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry. So there's three action words in there. Arise, get up out of your bed, get up from your seat, get up from wherever you are. Arise and go to Nineveh. Arise, go to Nineveh. That's two action words. And the third action word is cry. Arise, go, and cry. So get up from where you are on purpose. Go to where the Lord directs you. And then tell what the Lord wants you to tell. Arise, go, and cry. So in verse 3 of chapter 1, but Jonah rose up and he rose up to flee from the presence of the Lord. And again, I said before several times, don't flee from the very presence of the Lord. You know, sometimes you get upset at somebody. Sometimes you get upset because of the color of the church, or, you know, maybe you weren't involved in a certain thing or a certain decision, or somebody didn't talk to you and you felt like, oh, they weren't that friendly. First of all, everybody's going through something. And, you know, if somebody seems a little short with you, or somebody seems like they didn't spend any time with you, or, you know, you wanted to talk to them and they had to go, you don't know what they're going through. A lot of people go through different things, and it's not you. And sometimes if they're just an ornery, angry person, that's a problem they have with the Lord, not with you. So you got to do what you got to do. But Jonah rose up and he fled from the presence of the Lord. Always run to the Lord. Like the prodigal son. We'll talk about that a little bit later if we get a chance. But run to the Lord. Don't ever run away from the Lord and away from the people that can help you the most. And verse 3, it says, he therefore, let's read verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he was running from God. He paid the fare. And I'll say it again, you know, when he was running from God, he was sinning. And then he found a ship and he paid the fare thereof. You'll always pay the fare thereof of your sin. You'll always pay for your sin. And then he went down to Joppa. You know why he went to Joppa? It was maybe he had friends there. Maybe he had family there. Maybe he just wanted to get out of the crazy world and life that he was in, and he just wanted to relax. I don't know, but he went to Joppa. It was a famous seaport in the land of Israel. It was maybe a more preferable place for him. And another reason why he went to Joppa, and as far away as he could get away from the Ninevites, because he thought the Ninevites were his enemy. And he didn't think that the Ninevites deserved his time. But he thought that those people didn't deserve him going down there to preach to them. But it wasn't about the Ninevites. God told him to go. So, you know, it seemed like Jonah was all caught up in himself when he should have been all caught up in God. And so he found a ship. And then in verse 7, so he was in this ship. And just to remind you that there was a storm. So God sent a storm. First of all, he sent his word to Jonah. Then he sent a storm because Jonah was going against his word. Then the mariners on the ship were trying to figure out, hey, why we? There's something wrong here. This is not a normal storm. So they went and found Jonah sleeping in the belly of the ship. And then eventually Jonah told them that he was a Hebrew and he served the God of heaven. And so the mariners were afraid because they heard of this God. They knew how powerful this God was. And so the mariners asked for forgiveness to the Lord, and then they threw Jonah overboard. So he went from the belly of the ship to the belly of a fish, because it says God prepared a fish. But God has a plan for you and us, you and me. He's preparing something for us. Now, if we're being obedient to him, it probably won't be a fish. But he's got a purpose and a plan for each and every one of us, regardless of our age. You know, I was talking to my wife. We used to go to nursing homes in Pennsylvania when we lived there. We had a ministry in nursing homes and different things, and I would give a message, and all the kids would play piano, and we would sing and everything. And afterward, or during the message, we would go out and talk to the people. And a lot of them would get saved. A lot of them would get saved. And they're in nursing homes. Sometimes in nursing homes, there was this one lady that was 26 years old. But she was in the nursing home with a lot of older people. But my wife went and talked to this one lady. And she listened to the message, and she went and talked to this one lady, and my wife led her to the Lord. And so this lady got saved. She was 103 years old. That's close. 103 years old and being unsaved. If you're sitting here today and you're not saved, you need to get saved. Because God has a plan for you, but the first part of that plan is getting saved. So you need to ask the Lord into your heart. But anyway, the mariners found him, threw him overboard. And some people say that a fish's belly was a punishment for running from the Lord. And I don't want to look at Jonah and the belly of the fish as a punishment for Jonah running from the Lord, because I don't think that's the case. I don't think that was a punishment. It was more of a preservation. God could have killed Jonah right then and there if he wanted to punish him. God could have done all kinds of things. But he says, okay, I'm going to put you in time out, Jonah. I'm going to take you, put you in this fish, and there I want you to think about things. And he did. The book of Jonah describes how he was thinking about things. And so at the end of chapter 1, Jonah was preserved, not punished, in the fish. And also it talks about he was in the fish for 3 days. And in Matthew 12:14, Jesus talks about how Jonah was in the fish 3 days. Now, Jonah is in the Old Testament, and then Matthew, of course, is in the New Testament. But Christ, Jesus, talks about in Matthew 12:40 how he was in the how Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days, and how he must go. Actually, we can read that real quick. Let's go to Matthew 12:40. And let's read that real quick just to get into the Bible a little bit here. So Matthew 12:40 says, "For as Jonas was 3 days, which is Jonah, and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." Now, don't you think if the Lord Jesus is comparing himself to Jonah, that he had compassion on Jonah and he wasn't punishing him, but he wanted to preserve him for something bigger? He wanted to use Jonah. And that's why, well, we'll go on from there, but that's chapter one. Chapter one, the scene is Jonah is in the belly of the fish. And then chapter two, just to recap, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord. Ah, okay. He gave him his word. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah. Jonah didn't listen. He sent the storm. He sent the wind. Then he sent the storm. Then they threw him out of the ship. Then he's in the belly of a fish. I think Jonah's attention is received. I think the Lord now has, but did he have the right kind of attention? And we'll talk about that in a minute. But so he got Jonah's attention. He's sitting in the belly of a fish, not dying, but miserable. I mean, I don't need to describe to you what the belly of a fish might smell like or feel like, but Jonah kind of describes it a little bit. And I encourage you to read through there. We won't take the time to read there, but Jonah prayed, and then he was out of the belly of the fish and said, "I cried by reason of mine affliction." And let me, on verse 2, chapter 2, it said, "And said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord." We often cry to the Lord or pray to the Lord because we're having a pity party, or because we're worried about ourselves, or because we're struggling through something, maybe financially, maybe through marital situation, maybe we're having trouble with a kid or something. We'll cry out because of us. But you know what we first should do? And this is just my advice. We should cry out because of him. We love him because why? He first loved us. We need to go to him first. We need to cry out to him for his sake, for his glorification, so we can worship him first. And then second, we can worry about our affliction. All right? So, "For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas and the floods." And he said, "The floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me." So just put yourself in the Bible. You're sitting there in the belly of a fish, and you got the waves going over you. You got the smells. You got all the billows. And I mean, if you're not seasick normally, I think you would be seasick here. And then I said, "I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple." Then goes on, talks about the waters compassed about me. I went down to the bottom of the mountains. And so this fish was carrying him all over the place. And I just never envisioned that. I just envisioned Jonah was in the fish and he was sitting in there and whatever. But the Bible describes how he's going all over the place. And it's pretty neat. He says the weeds in verse 5, "The weeds were wrapped about my head." Just to put yourself there. "And I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God." So he's remembered all the good things that the Lord had done for him, all the blessings, all the times that the Lord was merciful. And he probably couldn't bring up one time that the Lord did anything bad in his life. But But all throughout here, you know, he talks about how he wanted to kill himself. A couple different times, he said, I want you to take my life, or I want my life. And so he talks about how he wants to kill himself, and how, you know, oftentimes, you know, suicide, it's a very selfish way to think. Because you're only thinking about yourself, you're not thinking about others. And you may know someone that committed suicide, and I don't want to take away from their story and different things, but oftentimes it's just, I've dealt with suicide somewhat over the years, and with people that work for me in the military, and it's a sad situation, but most oftentimes it starts out with someone being selfish, and we don't want to go that route. But Jonah prayed out of the belly. He cried for his affliction. In verse 7, he said, "When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and the Lord will never leave us. The Lord will never forsake us. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever." I mean, through all this stuff, that our world has changed a lot over your lifetime and over mine, but the Lord is still there. Now, the Lord's ways are not our ways. And it talks about that in the Bible. But still, he's the same yesterday and today and forever. And just thank the Lord that his ways are not our ways, right? Because we're so shallow in our thinking. Verse 9, it talks about salvation is of the Lord. And I think of, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And the key with that is he's provided a way to heaven and salvation for all. God has more work for him to do. We could get some advice from the fish, right? Because it says God made the fish and the fish obeyed. That's what I wrote here. God made the fish fundamentally. He made that fish, and in the Bible it talks about how he's the creator and he has power over all flesh. That's everybody. That's everything. But he made the fish and the fish obeyed. And fundamentally, we could get some good advice from the fish. The fish obeyed when Jonah didn't obey. The fish was more obedient than Jonah. And the Ninevites, when the Ninevites got saved, Jonah went, he preached to Nineveh, the Ninevites got saved, and guess what? They obeyed. The king, the lost king that got saved, the king of Nineveh, the whole town, the whole great city in population and in influence, they all got saved when Jonah reluctantly finally went there and he got that second chance and he preached to them and they got saved. Just think about that. The verse 1 of chapter 3, the second time, thank the Lord for second chances, right? And you know what? Thank the Lord for third chances and fourth chances, because we're a hard-headed people, aren't we? Sometimes we would just go back and do the same thing. You do the same thing over and over thinking it's going to have a different result. That's the definition of insanity, right? So we're going to have to stop there. Well, I'll go a little bit further. We got about 5 minutes. But the people in Nineveh, in verse 5 of chapter 3, the people in Nineveh believed God. Not only did they believe God, now this is a city that was probably very worldly, and God was thinking about destroying the whole city. So he was going to destroy the whole city, but Jonah reluctantly went and preached, and then the whole, it says Nineveh, they believed God. And not only that, they took action. As soon as the Lord, they wanted the Lord to have pity on them. They wanted to do the Lord's will at that point. And they fasted, it says in verse 5, and then they repented. And then it also talks about the Lord repenting. It says verse 6, for word came unto the king of Nineveh. There's that fourth time that the word came upon someone or something, but this is a person. And the word came unto the king of Nineveh. The word came to Jonah. Word came to the fish, word came to Jonah again, and then the king. And God will use anyone. And I was studying a little bit. I was trying to remind myself. In Numbers 22, if you want to write this down, Numbers 22, verses 21 through 30, God decided to use a donkey. So he used the donkey for someone to get saved. He used a donkey to be an example to someone else. So God certainly can use any one of us. But God, in verse 10, God saw they turned, God repented and changed. You know what? Our prayers are so important. We can influence the mind of Christ. We can influence the decision that maybe God would make with our prayers. It talks about that through Scripture, where he changed his mind. He was going to kill somebody, and then because of prayer, he decided to extend their life. But somebody was going to die, and I just don't want to get into that. But Numbers 22:21, Nineveh is spared at the end of chapter 3. Nineveh is spared by God, and everyone's life was changed forever because of the prayers. And, hey, Rick, would you turn to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? Not in your Bible, but on the screen. And again, I took too long, but I just felt the Lord leading in that little bit. There we go. So we're going to sing this. It's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and it's a scripture. It's right out of the Bible, King James Version 16:11. And I think it's important to hide God's word in our heart. And I got 2 minutes, so I think we can get through this song. Right? It goes like this. I want everyone participating. Now, next week I won't be here, so be nice to me and participate in this song. Marty will be teaching, I think, in the book of 1 John next week. So let's sing this. 1, 2, 3. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. He shall direct thy path. One more time. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. He shall direct your path. Have a good day. You are dismissed.